control of the airwaves. Dial in toll-free at 855-453. It's the SACL CAI toll-free line, 1-855-450-3733. Joining you tonight, it's Ian.
Damo.
And Mark.
All right. So, of course, you can bring up anything you want. That's the point of this radio program. But always, we bring things to the table to discuss at 855-450-free. Of course, yesterday we were live on the Memorial Day edition of this program and had a lot of Memorial Day-related things to say. And, Mark, you talked about the platitudes, as you called them, these things that people are just kind of spout off to make themselves feel better about the things that they support or to prevent them from having to question the things that they support. And there was a news story that was kind of related to the discussion that we were having regarding a particular, I guess, talk host of some sort on the MSNBC channel. According to the Weekly Standard, the Veterans of Foreign Wars group has been very upset by MSNBC host Chris Hayes when he told his viewers on his national program that he is uncomfortable with calling the War Dead and the Fallen heroes.
All of the War Dead and the Fallen heroes is what actually, you know, I have I've taken a look at it, and it's really, I don't even understand what their complaint is. He said something, I'd assume you're going to read this here, but he said something like, you know, obviously there are individual circumstances that, you know, where, let's see, desecrate a memory of anyone that's fallen, and obviously there's there are individual circumstances in which there is genuine, tremendous heroism, hail of gunfire, rescuing fellow soldiers, things like that. So the suggestion is if a cook slips and falls on a piece of bacon and breaks his neck out, as long as he's in a foreign war arena, he's a hero. And I just, I'm
so is that what he was saying? He was just implying on the rare incidences, or like, or if there was like the Gitmo soldiers who were torturing people, he's, you know, those don't count either. But for the most part, he gives heroism.
Well, his statement here is, do you want me to
read it? I don't have the full statement in front of me right now.
I've got, this is from Newsmax.com, and here's what Hayes said, and there's a video, and if you wanted to link to it, we can do that. Thinking today and observing Memorial Day, that'll be happening tomorrow, I just talked to Lieutenant Colonel Steve Burke, it's actually Beck, apparently, who was a casualty officer with the Marines and had to tell people, I think it's interesting because I think it's very difficult to talk about the War Dead and the Fallen without invoking valor, without invoking the words hero. And why do I feel so comfortable with the word hero? I mean, uncomfortable about the word, because it seems to me that it's so rhetorically proximate to justifications for more war. I don't want to obviously desecrate or disrespect the memory of anyone that's fallen. Obviously, there are individual circumstances in which there is genuine, tremendous heroism, a hail of gunfire, rescuing soldiers, and things like that. But it seems to me that we marshal the word in a way that is problematic. But maybe I'm wrong about that.
No, he's absolutely right.
I can't disagree with that at all. I mean, he nailed it on the head.
I mean, hit the nail on the head. The guy, I mean, he was all over the place. He barely said anything, and I can't see how anybody could possibly disagree with this. I mean,
Come on, Mark. I mean, you know, a lot of people disagree with that because they see anyone who joins the military, just like anyone who joins the police, as heroes. I mean, you guys over at coplock.org, I mean, you see this all the time in the news media. Every cop, no matter what they do, is just automatically a hero just by virtue of the fact that they become a police officer.
And most people who feel that way do it blindly. You know, it's one thing if you support war and you can say, yes, I know the connections between the government and other things it's done with bin Laden and propping up, you know, terrorist cells or calling them terrorist cells afterwards. If you know all that information, you say, yeah, I still support the war, then like, fine. It's a little weird. I wouldn't associate with you, and you can have fun paying for it yourself. But a lot of people who follow this, you know, allegiance do it blindly. They can't even tell you all that information, or with police officers that they don't have the most dangerous job.
Right, just the fact that they've put they put themselves on the line for the country.
They've signed a check.
They tell me it's dangerous. They tell me I'm not safe if they're not there.
I mean, when people are talking about the police and the military as being heroes, they're usually not referring to the guys that are running the back office or, you know, slicing potatoes
well, but
in the kitchen.
Thing. That's the thing that I'm trying to point out here. Is it doesn't take but one question to get from the statement that all police and all, in this case, all soldiers, sailors, marine, airmen, and the Coast Guard, and anybody who's ever been a civilian contractor for the military, and anybody who's ever, you know, been whatever,
yeah,
in any way attached to the
far.
Military. It doesn't take but one question. But look, well, what about the ones that Abu Ghraib? What about these? What about the ones that commit crimes? Are they heroes too?
That's a good question to ask those people.
So there's obviously a shades of gray in heroism in this area. All this guy was saying is, look, the real heroes are the real heroes, and the rest of them are people that had unfortunate mishaps.
You know, another thing is I've met a lot of guys from the military, because there are a lot of them in the Liberty Movement, and a lot of the ones that would probably be classified as heroes don't talk about what their heroism is. I've met a few who have done things like rescued men off of roofs under gunfire and so on and such, and they don't walk up and say, hey, I've gotten this medal for that, and so on and so forth. It is, though, the cook or the guy who punches in numbers or files paperwork who wears his uniform home on leave to get the free soda or half-off burger or the upgrade to the front seat. Those guys, you know, are the ones that, oh, you're a hero. Please sit up front. No, I push papers. I'm no different than the guy back there in coach, to be a fact. And the one who
they'll take advantage of it.
Right, and the ones who are quote-unquote heroes are kind of ashamed of why they were in this gunfight or why they pulled these people off.
Or at least they're humble enough to brag about it. So, well, look, of course we all understand what this talk show host was saying, and the reason why he was so stumbly about it, because he knew he was saying something controversial. For anyone to come out and say anything besides this official state line that the military are all heroes just because of the fact that they just do whatever it is they're told, they join the military, and so they're heroes. So he was probably afraid as he spoke it, but good for him for actually coming out on national television and saying something like that. Unfortunately, he's taking a lot of heat for it. I believe there's been some sort of an apology, but I haven't read that part yet.
This guy sounds like he'd issued an apology over what he had for breakfast. I mean, he doesn't sound like he's very firm.
Well, I mean,
on
he's
much.
Working for a big, you know, a big state supporting corporation. He's working for MSNBC, you know, just like CNN, Fox News. These people all have the party line that they're towing, which is, of course, the state party, not the Republicans or Democrats, but the support of the state. And so
I think this is so insulting, the veterans of foreign wars, to the real heroes that really put their lives
on
the line.
You haven't even heard what they said. So the veterans of foreign wars, is according to the Weekly Standard, weeklystandard.com, has responded by saying that Hayes's comments are reprehensible and disgusting, and are asking for the MSNBC host to apologize. His recent remarks regarding our fallen service members are reprehensible and disgusting, according to the VFW official Richard DeNoyer. He spoke in a statement to Fox News, quote, his words reflect his obvious disregard for the service and sacrifice of the men and women who have paid the ultimate price while defending our nation. His insipid statement is particularly callous because it comes at a time when our entire nation pauses to reflect and honor the memory of our nation's fallen heroes.
The entire nation, huh?
And this is pretty obviously, what the guy was talking about. That this is used as rhetoric for more wars. Because how in the world could you be a hero unless you happen to die in a war? If the only way to be a hero is to die in a war or work for the government in some way, shape, or form. I mean, but what this is insulting to the members of the VFW who really did go in there in a hail of gunfire to pull their buddy out. I mean, the idea that anybody who got into an automobile, the idea that the guy who got into an automobile accident and killed General Patton at the end of World War II, that because he was drunk driving, that he is a hero because he died in before the war was declared over or whatever.
They're likely to equivocate. If you bring up these specific examples, they're gonna hedge their statement. If you bring up some example of some guy that shot his own buddies and then was shot by them, and then the person who's calling everyone heroes is gonna, well, not him, but everyone else.
All the other ones.
Right. Everyone else. There's exceptions to the heroes, but most everybody, 99% of them are heroes just because they joined up and they were willing to do exactly what they were told. The VFW has a few more words, though. We'll share those with you here in a moment at 855-453. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line, 1-855-450-3733. And you're certainly welcome to comment on heroes, or heroism, rather, or whatever it is that's on your mind. Take control of the airwaves. Free Talk Live.
Imagine you're on trial. The charge against you, violating one of the hundreds of laws Congress passes each year. You rise in your defense and say, "Your Honor, I didn't know about this law." How will the judge respond? I'm Jim Babka with DownsizedDC.org, and I think you know the answer. The judge will reply, "Ignorance of the law is no excuse." So what's the excuse for your representatives in Congress? Their ignorance is even worse. They don't even read many of the laws they pass. At DownsizedDC.org, we're proposing a simple but powerful idea, the Read the Bills Act, to force Congress to read the laws they pass. Why? Because we believe the federal government is way too big. We want to slow the politicians down. We want to reduce the size and power of the federal government, and we want them to sweat the details just like you do. Check out DownsizedDC.org because ignorance is no excuse, even for a congressman.
On the average, Americans work between 45 to 50 years, hoping to build up enough wealth to retire and live out their golden years. Unfortunately, with taxation, the rising cost of food, energy, housing, and medical, many retirees are forced to live below the poverty line. Is this a flaw of free enterprise, or is our monetary unit we call the Federal Reserve Note forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? These questions and more can be answered by reading G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Congressman Ron Paul states, "It's what every American needs to know about central bank power. A gripping adventure into the secret world of international banking cartel." Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I will give a silver dollar from the early 1900s to anyone who purchases this book. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order a copy today. It's critical that the public be made aware of the system. Call and order your copy today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Don't answer it! How can I stop these annoying collection calls?
Imagine being free from your debt without settling. And with no payment plan, no negotiating or filing bankruptcy, and no attorneys. What if you could eliminate the risk from all your unsecured debt in about 90 days? And keep all your money? You can! It's called Zero Debt Guarantee. And it works. There's no other program of its kind on the planet. And we guarantee the results in writing. Call now. 800-477-9256. Let our team of experts provide you with the resources to fight back, stop collection calls, and prevent and stop wage garnishments and bank levies. If you're facing foreclosure, we can help. Don't go it alone. Get free information now by calling 800-477-9256. Talk to an expert who has also completed our program. Call 800-477-9256 for free info or go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com. That's 800-477-9256 or go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com.
Healthy soils grow healthy plants. So before you plant your survival garden this year, is your soil healthy? Maximize your crisis garden soil with EM1 from Terraganix. EM1 organic soil conditioner, fertilizer amendment, and compost accelerant provides healthier gardens and faster, efficient garden composting. EM1 from Terraganix.com quickly improves soil structure by increasing nutrient availability and converting organic matter into soil humus. This improves seed germination and root growth, improves plant quality, size, color, flavor, nutrient value of fruits and vegetables, and improves shelf life. And when rain is not in the forecast, no worries. EM1 improves moisture retention in soils, helping reduce drought stress. Just like you prepare all else, prepare your crisis garden for maximum yields with EM1 from Terraganix.com. Order now at TerraGanix.com or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Terraganix. Life's getting better.
Now, more Free Talk Live. Dial in at 1-855-450-FREE. That's 1-855-450-FREE.
This is Free Talk Live. Toll free number here is 855-453. I'd just like to thank Damo, Mark. I'd like to thank you both. You are heroes for coming in tonight and risking death. You are sitting in a studio with electronics on your ears. You've got headphones on.
And there's
connected.
A thunderstorm going.
There's a very vicious lightning and thunderstorm going on outside of these very LRN.FM studios. So I'd like to say you've put your lives on the line in service of liberty, and you are heroes.
The difference between Adamo and I and the fallen heroes that the VFW is talking about is we won't do anything in the service of our boss. So you could just go on about your business.
Park the orders.
Yeah. And we'll sit over here and talk about whatever we want to talk about. Go ahead.
I was just saying, I appreciate you guys, your heroism. That's all.
If heroism means
doing it, I appreciate it.
If heroism means doing what you're told, and that's essentially what the VFW is saying here, is I don't need that kind of, the world doesn't need that kind of heroism.
I only did it because I'm going to get bumped up in like class at the restaurant, and if we just so happen to get our heads zapped off today, there'll be like an Adamo Freeman day, and everyone will say like, happy Adamo Freeman day.
We're talking about this talk show host, Chris Hayes, from MSNBC. And I don't watch television, so I'd never heard of the guy before. But he's got his own show on MSNBC, I guess, and he told his viewers that he's uncomfortable with calling all of the people who've died in the various conflicts that the U.S. military's been involved with as heroes, calling them heroes. The VFW, Veterans of Foreign Wars, issued a statement saying his comments are reprehensible and disgusting.
Reprehensible. I mean,
they are insipid.
Okay, insipid, I'll give you. But I don't know about reprehensible. I mean, you know, the guy didn't take much of a stand at all. All he essentially said was that, you know, that... that the real heroes are the real heroes, and that maybe people overuse the term hero in order to propagate the war.
The remainder of the statement from Richard DeNoyer, one of the VFW spokespeople, he said that it's especially devastating to the many broken-hearted children, spouses, and parents left behind to grieve for a loved one. It's not a problem that they're, you know... mom or dad was sent off to die for some politicians. That's not devastating.
Right.
It's the fact that a man on a talk show has an opinion about it.
Right. And, you know, I mean, let's not take a look as to whether or not their death was meaningless or not. I mean, this is something that they...
That would be truly devastating to come to that conclusion.
Right. To come to the conclusion that their death was meaningless, or that the loss of the limbs or their mind is meaningless, then that would be really devastating. And I really have to ask myself is, how would the world be any different if the United States would have left Afghanistan in 2003 instead of sticking around for the last 9 years and having the longest war? I mean, really, how would it be? What's the point?
Or if it hadn't gone at all. That's just it. People seem to start the conversation at very, you know, arbitrary and subjective points. You know, what did this person die for? Not like that day, or like, why are they there? Why is this purpose? Why do you have this, you know, over expansive military? You know, no one ever asks those questions. And if they would, then they would answer their heroism question probably in a different light.
When on Veterans Day in the past, we have done the listing of the last soldiers to be killed in World War I by their country. And World War I was ended by a treaty that ended it on the 11th day of the 11th month at the 11th hour. Are you familiar with hearing all this, Demo?
I think I have. I don't remember those exact details.
Yeah, so it's 11, you know, November the 11th at 11 a.m. Now, you can imagine they had penned this the night before. They didn't send out the word and say, hey, fellas, the war's over. They just said, okay, everybody stop shooting at 11 a.m. So people died, sometimes even after 11 a.m., in the World War I. Now, you can't tell me that if you caught a bullet in the head in a trench at 10:59 that you died for honor and justice and glory and something good.
To defeat evil.
Right. Nothing. I mean, so here's the argumentum, the reductum ad absurdum. You're looking at this absurd situation, which happened less than 100 years ago. And you're saying, well, obviously, this person's death was pointless. And there were several of them on each side, and I'm sure that we could list off hundreds of thousands of pointless deaths in World War I. But I'm just looking at these. So if that war has a pointless death, then clearly this war has a pointless death.
Well, they're all pointless, because war is pointless. War is the health of the state. War begets more war. Violence begets more violence. Everyone who dies in the service of a military, in my opinion, is a pointless death.
Oh, I think there are times when the state, you know, whatever autocracy, you know, when the United States Civil Revolutionary War seems to me to be one of the better wars that one can.
I don't believe there was a military at that time, was there?
Sure, they put together the Continental Army.
Okay.
I mean, yeah. Now, do I think that the Continental Army was a better use of the martial force than militias? I think that there's some arguments to be had on both sides. Both sides have really good arguments in this particular...
Were they conscripting people into that army? They weren't, right?
No, they were paying Continentals for people to come in.
Right, so, I mean, it really wasn't a government military, was it? Just because they would call that an army, it wasn't really a government.
They were printing a fiat currency to pay them, and there was certainly a governmental body, something that looked like a government, meeting in Philadelphia, mm-hmm. handing down orders.
Kind of quasi-government, volunteerish, self-creating.
It was a government that hoped to be a government. I think that some of these local governments were sending money that way. I couldn't answer for certain on that particular question. But I suspect that some governmental agencies, remember, they're tiered government agencies, and likely they were sending some money that direction. I'm just guessing.
It seems like there's a lot of question marks around that one.
Well, yeah, and at the end of the day, with another question marks, is that everyone has an idea of a hero. You know, even us three who have similar viewpoints on a lot of things probably wouldn't identify heroes 100% through and through. You know, there's probably some day in every other country that acknowledges some heroes and... from their military or from fights from the past, and, you know, are they right, wrong? It's all subjective.
It's a really great point, because if you're heroic for doing what you did in the name of, you know, for your government, because you're told to...
Then the Nazis must have been heroes.
Then the Nazis were heroes.
Right. Let's go to the phones here. Actually, we'll go to Clifford here in just a quick moment. He's still on the screening process, but 855-450-FREE is the number. You can bring up whatever you want. Clifford is with us, listening in Cincinnati. Clifford, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, great. What's your mind?
I was listening to another show, and then it was talking about the use of the word hero and about how everyone wants to call everybody in the military... those in the military as a hero.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that when someone dies and they give a life, they may be a hero. But one of the things that kind of bugs me a lot is that before sporting events, they're playing another national anthem and to see everybody act like they're all patriotic. And then as soon as they get finished, they go back to drinking beer and acting crazy. Like, you know, and I think there's no national patriotism in the country, and I think that more people need to serve in the military or in some form of government service.
Yikes, that's a scary thing to say.
What could possibly be considered virtuous for serving the government?
No, I'm serving where you would have some kind of national service. I'm not saying just the government.
Can you stick with us here, Clifford? I'd like to get into this, because we haven't talked about national service in a little while, and I think it's a really important topic. So hang on. I'd like to bring you back. 855-453. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line. 1-855-450-3733. Should everybody have to work for the government to serve under some governmental national service program? We'll come back with more. And your thoughts are welcome. Free Talk Live.
We take a lot for granted. Lights, water, even food we eat. But what if these things went away? Would you know how to protect your family in a natural or man-made disaster? Would you know how to survive? When disaster hits, power and water are gone, and the mobs go crazy grabbing food off the shelves, you and your family may be waiting in long lines for help. Don't be helpless. Learn the secrets to survival at 123survivalplan.com. Do you know the 37 crucial food items you can't live without? Many people don't have these food items. Learn what you need to hoard at 123survivalplan.com. Recently, over 1 million people have viewed the video at 123survivalplan.com. These survival secrets are vital. The government suggests we maintain an emergency supply of food and water. But do you know the 37 food items that will fly off grocery shelves or a simple way to treat unsafe drinking water? This information is critical. Find it now on 123survivalplan.com. Don't take your family's safety for granted. Visit 123survivalplan.com. That's 123survivalplan.com.
In an emergency situation, would you drink contaminated water? You could if you have the amazing Life Straw from MyPatriotSupply.com. Life Straw is the most advanced personal water filter available today. It filters contaminated water from almost any source. Life Straw is lightweight and compact, perfect for hiking, camping, or in an emergency like a flood. Life Straw is easy to clean, comes with a 1-year warranty, and has been used worldwide since 2005. Get the amazing Life Straw personal water filter at MyPatriotSupply.com. Plus, check out Survival Seed Vault, 20 seed varieties for only $37.95, Tattler Kenning Lids, long-term storable foods as low as $69.95, and much more at MyPatriotSupply.com. Enjoy stress-free shipping on all orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927 or visit MyPatriotSupply.com. That's 866-229-0927, MyPatriotSupply.com, for emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence.
Introducing a diabetes breakthrough, an easy, natural, organic way to bring relief to diabetics. Introducing MDS Forte, a concentrated super strength extract formulated for those who are looking for relief. What can MDS Forte do for you? MDS Forte reduces glucose levels safely and effectively, reduces cholesterol and triglyceride levels, increases HDL or good cholesterol while reducing LDL or bad cholesterol. MDS Forte reduces A1C, improves eyesight and circulation to the limbs, and helps with weight loss. Is non-toxic, caffeine-free, 100% natural, 100% organic, and comes with a 100% money-back guarantee. Waiting for the side effects disclaimers? With MDS Forte, there are none. Order a 25-day treatment of MDS Forte by calling 213-405-5355, 213-405-5355, or visit bestbloodsupport.com. That's bestbloodsupport.com for MDS Forte, a diabetes breakthrough.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, CrossbreedHolsters.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
This is Free Talk Live. Call in now, 1-855-450-FREE. That's 1-855-450-FREE.
This is Free Talk Live. Number for you to take control of these airwaves and predict whatever you want is 855-450-FREE. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line. You can join us on our website. Head over to freetalklive.com and get signed up for our news updates. You can go and go to news.freetalklive.com. Receive emailed updates, Twitter, Facebook, whichever delivery method is best for you. Drop on by news.freetalklive.com. Get signed up there. By the way, the Porcupine Freedom Festival is coming up, and it will be here soon. Just over 2 weeks away, about 3 weeks, I guess, at this point. June 18th is when it is slated to begin, and it will wrap up on the 24th. Mark, you and Stephanie are actually going up early. You're going to be up on Sunday the 17th to do an extra bonus pre-Porkfest show, which should be fun.
And we're kicking it off.
Free Talk Live is going to be there every single night. There's going to be a lot going on. I know that Adamo, you and Pete, I guess, Pete's mostly, he's actually auctioning off Marv.
Well, it's a raffle, yeah. So he'll be raffling it off. It'll be right down there by the Free Keen Pavilion, right?
I believe it's going to be called the Shire Society Pavilion.
The Shire Society Pavilion this time around.
Trying to promote a different brand, maybe get a little bit more participation across the Shire, and that's the intention there. But Marv is the Mobile Authority Resistance Vehicle. It is an RV that has been custom painted in yellow and black.
And punk rocked out on the inside with bumper stickers and signatures.
Oh,
and
signatures cover the ceiling of this thing, including Ron Paul and other liberty-oriented superstars, if you will.
Heroes.
They've been in there. Heroes. For sure. They've been in there signing the
thing. My signature's up there, so yeah.
There's one hero. And it's great. It's a really cool, unique piece of property that has a lot of history behind it. You and Pete and some other great guys traveled the country for a couple years in that thing.
It's about 2 years. Motorhome Diaries, Living on Tour, and a little bit of Cop Lock, and it's all been done in it. And so, yeah, it'll be down there by the main pavilion. People can get raffle tickets, or they can go to PeteAir.com and check it out there as well.
So they'll be able to go to PeteAir.com now, or they don't have to do it now. They can just do it at the
Porkfest. Yeah, it'd be a great time to interact and get your signature up there if it happens.
And the idea
yet.
Is somebody's going to walk away with or drive away with Marv.
I believe it's within the week following. Marv can be delivered or picked up, yeah.
All right, cool. So that's exciting. I think it's a really great piece of history, and I hope it ends up working out for Pete. Let's go to Clifford. He's back with us here. Oh, by the way, porkfest.com is where you can go to sign up for Porkfest. That's PORCFEST.com. Doesn't cost a whole lot of money. What's probably going to cost you the most is getting to New Hampshire and getting to Porkfest. Otherwise, it's just camping or a $35 fee for the full week. So porkfest.com is going to be a blast. There's a lot going on. Check out the details. Let's go back to Clifford in Cincinnati. Clifford,
yeah.
you're back on Free Talk Live, and you said something that was kind of concerning to me, and I wanted to make sure that we got into a little bit more detail about it. You were talking about national service, and that's an idea that hasn't reared its ugly head in the news in quite a long time, but I have a feeling it will come back at some point in the future, because last election season they had some sort of, national service conference day where they brought Barack Obama together with John McCain. They both talked about how they thought national service was just a great idea. And you know that whenever politicians agree on something, it's usually not a good thing.
Okay. Go ahead.
So what is your understanding of national service?
The thing about it I'm saying is that it doesn't have to be some national service. It could be something where a person coming out of high school or something, and, you know, if you want to get money to go to school, that you would do something or, you know, volunteer or go and serve for a little bit. Or I don't know how long, but where everybody feels some kind of national pride or national service where they can do something. It doesn't have to be in the military.
But it does have to be for the government, right?
What's the purpose of it?
Right. Hold on. It does have to be for the government, right?
No, it doesn't have to be for the government. I don't know all the particulars about it, but I'm saying something like a national service.
Well, this
like,
is important,
like
right? To know what the proposal is important. So my understanding of national service, as is proposed by politicians, is that, as you mentioned, young people, usually high school or college age, somewhere in that range, would be forced by a government mandate to...
Or their college funding would be contingent upon it.
Right. So they'd be put into
a position... Have to pay it back. Where they wouldn't have to pay it back. If you could give them the money where if they do this, they wouldn't
have to
pay it back.
Well, they could go and get a job and then, you know, earn money that way, too. So
here's what my concern on this is that government jobs often will tend to ruin people for real work.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, that's true. That's one of the reasons why I got out of the service, because everybody was either on drugs, alcohol, or coffee. And I got tired of taking... I was in the military... And I said, I cannot take orders from these ignorant people. Mm. I mean, you know, I had a guy that told me, like, hey, I was black, he was white, and he was a redneck, and I was black, and he was saying, if you don't like me, we can go out here, and we can take this uniform off, and we can fight. And I said to him, but what good does that do? Because I'm still going to have to work for you.
Yeah.
So, you know, whether you beat me or I beat you, I still got to work for you. So I went to the guy that was above us and said, you've got to get me away from here before I kill him or he kills me.
Yeah.
And
he was able to get
me away from there.
I'm sorry you had to deal with that situation. It's, you know, it's really repugnant kind of behavior. But, you know, I mean, this is often people will lament that young people have a lack of discipline. And I lament along with them that they can often have a lack of discipline as a whole. If you look at young people as a demographic cell,
but those kids.
I suspect people have been lamenting people in my demographic cell, which is currently the 35 to 44 cell, have probably been lamenting the laziness and lack of discipline that people in the 18 to 24 year old cell have had since time began.
But you know what? It's getting worse. I mean, it's getting worse. You know, when I,
how would I know?
Well, I'm telling you, I can see because I'm 53 and a half, and I remember it was standard policy to say yes, ma'am, and yes, sir to people. And, you know, like I remember coming up and I told my daughters, like, say yes, ma'am, yes, sir. And my mother-in-law said, well, I don't think that that's appropriate. I said, it may not be appropriate for you, but I want my kids to say yes, ma'am, and yes, sir, because the benefits of it, people are more apt to do things for you when you respect them. And I think a lack of respect a lack of respect is prevalent among young people, and it stems, it's a generation thing.
And I can speculate. I think you're probably right about that, and I'd like to speculate as to why. I think that you've got a situation where young people are placed in basically day prisons with other young people that are all the same.
What do you call a day prison? School?
School, yeah. With other young people of their same age with very little, you know, oversight or positive adult influences in their lives, and they're forced to be together sometimes with people that they don't get along with. You know, you put racists in there and then, you know, mean kids and bullies, and they all, you know, that kind of problem.
I went to the I can tell you, I went to probably the greatest school in the country. It's called Walnut Hills High School, and I graduated 35 years ago today, and I talked to some of my friends, and we were saying about how our school was diverse. You had to take a test to get in it, and it was a college prep, and it was like, when we were in school, it was like one of the top 10 schools in the country. Now it's like 60th or 90th, one of them.
And what was it called again?
Walnut Hill?
Walnut Hills High School.
Mm-hmm.
And it was
that?
Very diverse in Cincinnati. We had people from, we got bussed all over the city, but it was a citywide school, and people paid money to send their kids if you were outside the district. And it was like the greatest experience of anything that I knew, because
so, like an everybody. School? I'm looking at it here. It's
a public
college prep high school. So it's just,
right.
It's like one of those unique government schools that operates differently than normal schools. Like you're saying, you had to apply, you had to take a test to get in.
It's like the school you went to.
Right, I went to a school like this as well. It wasn't called college prep. It was called a gifted school in South Florida. And I also had to take a test in order to get into that school. And there's no doubt it was a better school than the rest of the schools in the area. There's no doubt about
it. Because you had people from you had poor people, rich people, and the super rich. You had the smart people. Everybody was.
Well, plus they're self-selected people as well. They're people who chose to go to that school rather than being forced to go to whatever the regular government school is in the area. And that's why I call it a day prison, because young people are forced.
Well,
young people are forced to be
there. Not the school you went to.
You chose to go to that school, but a lot of people are forced to go to school. You understand that, right?
But they need to be forced to do something.
No, I totally disagree with that.
Forced doesn't work.
Totally disagree. You want to know why kids, I'll tell you what, hang on, Clifford, I think it's an interesting conversation. You want to know why kids, young people are acting out? Well, you know, force has consequences, unintended consequences. We're coming up.
I am so excited about Pork Fest this year.
Pork Fest? What's that?
It's the Porcupine Freedom Festival, a fun and educational camping event put on every summer by the Free State Project. This year it's going to be happening June 18th to the 24th at Rogers Campground in Lancaster, New Hampshire.
Okay, I like camping, and I definitely like freedom, but my budget is tight.
Tickets are only $30 for the whole week if you get them before May 1st.
Well, that sounds reasonable, but what goes on there?
What doesn't go on at Porkfest? There are speakers, family fun, dance parties, karaoke, a comedy roast, hiking, campfires, sports, a wedding, and all kinds of delicious food. But the part that I like best is spending time with other people who love freedom.
That's sounding pretty good to me. Where can I go to learn more?
Check out porkfest.com and make sure you spell pork like a porcupine. PORCFEST.com. Like what you see?
It looks like a blast. Okay, I'm in. See you at Porkfest.
While you're there, check out how you can become a VIP, very important porcupine, for a modest donation. See you at Porkfest.
Attention, information in this one-minute message could save your life. Don't wait for the next emergency to happen. Act now to be prepared. Now, more than ever, civilians and communities must communicate with family, friends, and neighbors in the event of civil unrest, natural disasters, or other emergencies. That's why there's CivilDispatch.com. CivilDispatch.com is a universal system that can be used for a wide array of urgent notification alerts. Weather emergencies, civil unrest, emergency responders, amber alerts, school or business closings, any need-to-know situation. CivilDispatch.com is an emergency dispatch communication system, allowing anyone to quickly and easily send and instantaneously track emergency email and text alert notifications. CivilDispatch.com gives you the power of enterprise alerting without the enterprise cost. Don't find yourself unprepared. Learn more and become a member at CivilDispatch.com. That's CivilDispatch.com, civilian emergency dispatch system. Peace through preparedness.
Love gardening but don't love seeing your hard work destroyed by wildlife? Then use the number one most effective deer and rabbit repellent you can buy, PlantSkid. PlantSkid repellent protects gardens, trees, and landscaping by emitting an odor that browsing animals associate with predators. So animals avoid plants before they nibble, not after. PlantSkid is made in the U.S. from non-toxic, 100% organic, environment, and pet-friendly ingredients. Other repellents wash off in the rain, not PlantSkid. It's guaranteed to outlast all other repellents. PlantSkid was the first animal repellent to be OMRI listed organic and now comes in liquid spray, powder concentrate, or easy-to-use granular. Just sprinkle around your garden. For proven protection from deer, rabbits, squirrels, and other small rodents, use PlantSkid. Member tested and recommended by the National Home Gardening Club. Find a dealer near you at PlantSkid.com. That's PlantSkyd.com. Ask about our new vole repellent when you call 800-252-6051. That's 800-252-6051. PlantSkid. Proven plant protection guaranteed or your money back.
Would it save you time to get the best quality water filters and the best quality storable foods from one company? You bet it would, and now you can at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Big Berkey Water Filter products and great-tasting, long-lasting, storable, wise foods are both now available on one website, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Wise foods, ready-to-eat meals are packed in airtight nitrogen pouches and come with a 25-year shelf life. Big Berkey Water Filters are powerful enough to purify treated, untreated, or even stagnant pond water. Combine Berkey water filters with Wise Foods for an unbeatable preparedness combination. Get free shipping on every order over $50. And GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Or go to BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call 1-855-450-FREE. That's 1-855-450-FREE.
This is Free Talk Live. Dial in and bring us whatever you want. 855-453. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line. It's 1-855-450-3733, and you can join us on our website, freetalklive.com. Enjoy the features that are waiting for you there. That's freetalklive.com. You can sign up for for our news updates. So you can go to the mobile site. Those of you with a smartphone, go to m.freetalklive.com. That'll take you to the quick links that you need to access our live streams. You can get on our broadband stream, midband, or narrowband over at m, as in mobile, .freetalklive.com.
Jason Osborne of SACL CAI, the guy who sponsors, runs the company that sponsors our phone lines, wants to encourage you to share an episode of Free Talk Live every week on your Facebook or Twitter, and that way you can spread the show around. SACL CAI is a company that handles accounts receivable. You can see their banner at freetalklive.com and check them out. It's got a brand new website over there, freetalklive.com.
Wait, SACL has a new website?
Yes, they have a relatively new website.
Cool. All right, so let's get back to Clifford here. Clifford, we've been talking about young people and the lack of discipline and some of the frustrations that people in older generations have, and talking about some of the ideas, speculating upon some of the ideas as to why that might be the case. And I came
around
to...
time I've ever heard it called a day prison. You're talking about schools, right?
Yeah, I'm talking about government-run schools where kids are forced, not every school, because some young people choose to go to a school, like you chose to go to a special school that was different, you opted into that, but ultimately, had you decided you didn't want to go to any of the government schools in your area, and your parents were to say something like, well, we can't really afford to send you to a private school, these government guys might come and throw your parents in a jail cell as a result of that. So there's always the implicit threat of force, and when I brought that up to you at the very end of the segment, you had said that you believe that young people should be forced to, was it go to school that you were going to say?
Well, I think that you have to learn something. You can't sit and just watch videos all day or learn how to shoot videos and video games where you learn how to kill people.
I totally agree with you.
Desensitize people to violence, because that's why we got some of the things that's going on now. You know, no one is getting any love.
Dude, I totally agree with you that young people absolutely need to be educated. However, I don't agree that force is the way to accomplish that goal. Let me give you an example. Okay, thank you for the question. So here's the example. It's called unschooling. Have you ever heard of it before?
No.
Okay, so it sounds really radical. When I explain it to you, it's going to sound really radical, but fact is it works. So unschooling is a way for young people to direct their own learning process, for young people to naturally discover what's important to them, what it is that they need to learn in order to move along in life and be successful and all of that and become better humans. And fact is, when you let young people decide what they want to learn, they end up learning the right things that they need to in order to become effective adults. It's a natural process. Learning is a process that young people want to do until they go to government school and have the desire to learn sucked out of them by an inhumane, system of confusing
labyrinth. I don't think private school is that much different, having gone to private school.
System. Well, private schools in many ways are based off of the model of the government school. But I'm not talking about, when I'm talking about unschooling, Mark, I'm not talking about private schools.
I know.
Unschooling is something that you can do at home.
But you did specify government schools.
The government schools get the real brunt of my concern because they are the ones that are forcing people to attend them. That's where my concern is.
I don't think it's a bad thing of learning, because I think that the whole thing about learning is the exposure to something. You may expose me to something, like what my forte is photography.
Mm-hmm.
I've been exposed to it. And once I learned it and kept dwelling in it, I became a perfectionist at it. And now I look at people as a picture, or I look at things as a picture. And that's what I do, and I could teach that. But the thing about it is,
did you learn that in school?
No, I learned it when I was in the Navy, because I ran with some guys that was in they were photo techs, and they purchased a camera set for me, and I used to sit up and get high and sit up and take pictures of the plane taking off.
So you found love to do all on your own, and that's what young people can do too when they're free to do so.
I was older then.
Well, right, but you were put in the school system for 13 years or how many years? I'm glad you liked it, but there are a lot of people. You know this is true, right? There are a lot of people that hate going to school.
But I mean, you know what? That's why you just can't have one model of school. Like, one of the worst things.
I'm with you completely.
Yes, but do you understand the government?
I think the government does have a responsibility to help train its citizens. And not to force them,
if you want to get rid of the force, then that's fine with me. Well,
I'd ask you this, Clifford. What has the government done well up to this point?
Nothing.
That why in the world would you want to give them the most important job this nation has, which is rearing its young people?
Well, an individual has. The nation
okay,
doesn't
okay,
have
wait.
Right.
So who would you leave it up to? People? I mean, parents?
Individuals. I mean, Mark has children.
Parents, you know, I was hearing a report today that in a couple of years, or in so many years, there's going to be over 50% of the people on the government dole, either Social Security or Medicare.
It's 50% of households, and it's currently happening. Right now, more than 50% of households in the United States has somebody in it.
Right. And the country is going down if something doesn't change. I mean,
it's already down.
It's
the
down
education
and out.
Is going,
is going,
terrible.
Is going
but
down.
Let's not forget, Clifford, that this is what has been. I mean, the United States has had government schooling for the last 8 decades,
lifetimes for sure.
And so,
it's not just because
we're not changing anything.
But that's not. I mean, some has to be fixed. And
I completely agree with you. And let me go back to something you said, Clifford, because, again, you and I, we are special cases. We had a unique education experience that most people didn't have. But the point I wanted to make was that there does need to be a diversity of education. There do need to be different options available for parents and young people. And that's one of the things you don't get from government schools typically. Again, you and I, we're exceptions. There are those exceptions. But generally, most people are forced into a one-size-fits-all system where there's a certain curriculum that is decided on high and handed down. In many cases, the federal government is setting curriculum to some extent in schools, and lots of controls are being put on these individual schools from making you know, preventing them from making their own decisions and diversifying. If you actually didn't have the force anymore, if you got rid of the force from the equation and you just simply allowed people to make their own educational choices for themselves, to decide which schools to send their kids to, or to not send them at all into homeschool or whatever it is they want to do, or to unschool or send to a private school, etc., then you would have a much more diverse educational offering. There would be people out there in the marketplace competing for your educational dollar in the same way that there are people out there competing for your food dollar. I mean, can you imagine how bad it would be if we all were forced to go to the same government food store? Like, if we all had to go to government grocers, and there was just one grocer in town that everybody had to go to, and, like, there weren't five different choices for mustard. There's only one choice for mustard.
Government mustard.
Right. If it's in stock, then you can get some of it, and you might have to wait in a line.
Only government-approved mustard.
Right. And the same
Anything
thing with
else
the relish.
Is dangerous.
The same thing with the ketchup. The same thing with the fish. I mean, central bureaucracy would be making those decisions.
The government.
And in addition to that, it would be like, let's say you didn't like the fact that their fruit was rotten, because, you know, they're the only store in town, so, you know, it's not like they really have to take good care of their fruit. So you don't like their produce. You decide, well, I'm going to take this into my own hands. I'm going to plant my own food. I'm going to grow my own crops. I'm going to feed my own family, and I'm not going to rely on this government store anymore.
Get him, he's a terrorist.
Well, maybe they wouldn't go that far initially, but what they would say is, well, you know what, Clifford, it's fine if you're making your own food, but you've got to support government grocers, because we're taking care of feeding people, so you've got to pay up. We need $1,000 from you for this 6-month period.
Or we'll call you a terrorist.
Right, to support our efforts. Otherwise, you're not being patriotic. I mean, does that sound ludicrous to you?
And we will send some heroes.
Yeah, where are y'all at of?
We're in Keene, New Hampshire.
Hey there.
We're in Keene, New Hampshire, in the southwest corner of New Hampshire. But do you see my point, though? Like, it's as absurd to have the government run education as it would be to have them run something as critical as food. Both of these things are critical things that humans need. And
let me ask you, what do you think the government should run then?
I think they should go away and leave people alone.
I think the government is a bad model. I think that this idea of a representative republic is about 200 and something years old, and that it's run its course in human history, and that now we need more voluntary forms of governance.
Well, the idea of a force-based government is probably thousands of years
old. Sure, it's just a different person at the top instead of autocracy or king or.
So let me ask you: you think the United States is still the greatest country in the world?
I according to the lists that are out there, the United States has slipped to the 8th or 9th position on the world's economic liberty chart.
Wasn't it like 13?
Not just economic liberty.
No,
do you think they're the greatest country in the world?
I don't know which country is greater, but I know that it isn't the greatest in any one category.
I know that as far as social liberties are concerned, we certainly don't have that here.
And
I'd say, look at the war on drugs.
Here's what I want to say.
Jail
the United States is going the wrong direction.
Clifford, it's been a great conversation. Call us back some other time. We'll always appreciate it. By the way, I knew you were listening to another show, but you've been talking to Free Talk Live, so thanks for the call tonight. More coming up.
Free Talk Live has partnered with Amazon, the largest internet retailer. Imagine a department store category, and Amazon has it. Books, electronics, office products, furniture, jewelry, automotive, toys, clothing, sporting goods, and dozens of other categories. Now you can shop and support Free Talk Live by entering Amazon through our website. Go to shop.freetalklive.com, and Amazon will send us a portion of your purchase. You're going to do the shopping anyway, so remember to enter through our site at shop.freetalklive.com. That's shop.freetalklive.com. Get 18,000 radio stations from around the world. Pandora, Opio, Live365, and MP3 Tunes. With C-Crane CC Wi-Fi Internet Radio. It's great in any room of the house. You can listen to your favorite station stream from back home, whether it's another state or another country. Play Free Talk Live's live streams, LRN.FM, or your favorite stations. If you're not familiar with the C-Crane company, their products are the best. Get the CC Wi-Fi Internet Radio at C-Crane.com. CCRANE.com.